verifying it.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
That's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, welcome on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing good, Scotty. How you doing?
I am in lovely Los Angeles getting ready for the Mountain West Conference Championship game coming up manana. And you, my friend, are just hours away from kickoff with Utah and Oregon.
Hours away and just feet away from the stadium, buddy. We are in a very good position here to get you ready for pregame and postgame, and it's exciting. We got there's a lot of Utah fans just cycling around, seeing a ton in the lobby. You can tell that they're pumped, like we talked about yesterday, passed a bunch on the road. So I think Utah fans have really flooded Vegas. I think they're down here. I don't know what the final tally is going to be, but I think that it's going to be a pretty good showing coming
well
up.
I left for L.A. this morning, and I saw a bunch in the airport coming down there today. So I was going to L.A., and, of course, you know, all these Delta flights going to Vegas, and those seem to be packed with Utah fans.
Yeah. They're really – it's pretty impressive, actually, down here. So pretty cool to see everybody showing up and – excited, just a great location. Appreciate everything that KSL Sports, Bonneville, the Zone Sports Network have done to get us all down here. It's fun being down here with PK and Trevor, and I know Farnsworth is down here, and it's just a whole crew, Scotty, and everybody's working and getting their sound and getting their cuts, and it just makes it such a big event. You know, when you got a Pac-12 championship game, I would say you don't get many of these, but this is the third one that we've gotten with Kyle Whittingham and his at least fourth share of a division title. But obviously, Scotty, you're in California getting ready for another championship game. I'm excited to see this one too. And I've been researching both games this morning, went back and looked at both of those teams' last games. And I watched San Diego State, Boise State this morning to get a better feel of what the San Diego State team's all about. And so it doesn't matter where we start, man. I can talk all day long about that Mount West Conference Championship game. We can talk about this Pac-12 Championship game. How are things for you? Where are you set up?
I'm set up here and ready to go. I'm fired up and ready to talk football. Had a really interesting – and I know, look, football is going to own the day today, and I totally understand that, but saw a really, really crazy game last night in Logan. Called the Utah State St. Mary's game with a really, it was an unfortunate ending to say the lot. I almost went right waters on that one last night. I'm not going to lie. Like, I almost lost it. I came really
close. What happened?
What
was it just there? I know that there was a no call, but I'm curious. Why was there so much to do about the coach and everything?
Well, so there was actually a call. So it's a tie ball game. And Rylan Jones misses a three took the shot with about 2 seconds left. Ball gets tapped around. A St. Mary's player comes away with it and then falls. And there's a scrum of like four or five guys all fighting for the ball. And with 0.9 seconds left, they blow the whistle and they call a foul on Utah State. 80 feet away from the bucket on the other side of the – and so it puts the St. Mary's guy to the line for two free – or, well, for a one-and-one. With 0.9 seconds left, and he knocks down both. So the crowd's going nuts about that. I really think at that time, it's probably you swallow your whistle and let that thing get decided in overtime. It was a really disappointing way. And then there were some clock issues that Randy Bennett and BYU fans don't like Randy Bennett. Now you can add Utah State fans to that list. Randy Bennett loses his mind and walking off the court in the handshake line, starts barking at Ryan Odom. And this is all happening about five feet away from me. And Ryan Odom, to his credit, was like, and you can see the words he says, are you going to be that guy right now? And, as he just won the game.
Yeah.
And Ryan Odom's like, are you going to be that guy right now? Are you really going to be that guy right now?
And he kind of – didn't he extend his hand as he said that?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. When I saw it, and I tweeted it out, and I since deleted it because I went back and saw the video, and so it looked like Randy Bennett blew off Ryan Odom. And Randy Bennett actually extended his hand, but Ryan wanted to keep talking to him. Like, really? If you want to talk about this, let's talk about this right now. And then Bennett, like, just stormed off after that. So I can't say in good – I mean, at first I tweeted out that Randy Bennett refused to shake his hand. That wasn't true, and I deleted that tweet because I went back and watched the video on it. I was just looking at my perspective on it, and I should have seen the video before I tweeted it out. But there really was never a chance to have a handshake because the conversation was going on, and so finally – and then Randy Bennett just, like, screw it, I'm out. And then he storms off, and he starts, like – trying to, you know, yell at the crowd a little bit, and he ends up going up the wrong tunnel. I mean, the whole thing was pretty humorous, honestly. And so it was a really bizarre scene for sure. And in a really good basketball game, especially the second half, it was really an ugly way to end what was a really fun game last night.
Coach Odom's got a point, though. You really want to be that guy. Like, you just got a call. Your guy knocked down a couple game-winning free throws, and you want to be that guy right now? Just – come over here, let's handshake, let's act like we're okay, because when something appears to not be okay, then people make too big a deal out of it. It's just absolutely absurd. So please don't be that guy. Just shake my hand and show a little bit of respect here, and let's go our opposite directions. I could just see how furious that would make a coach, especially after he gets the call and gets the win. I don't care if your guys played terrible. You got the win. So just shake my hand and be happy about it.
Yeah, it was a bizarre situation, and it was funny because I got usually when BYU fans are tweeting at me, it's because I've said something that makes them upset, and they want to come at me a little bit, and that's fine. Usually I say some things that is deserving sometimes, but last night they're like, see what we deal with twice a year, see this jack A, and I'm like, yeah, I got you, I'm with you now, I totally understand it. Mark Durant sent me a nice little message last night, said, welcome to our world, my friend. So. Yeah. Anyway, all right, we got a lot of football to get to, Hans. Let's talk some Utah, Oregon. The game coming up tonight, it's your Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas. We've got it covered better than anybody else out there. It's a blowout the budget coverage with the Zone Sports Network and KSLSports.com. Let's fire off your starting lineup.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
That it is just as much mental, if not more mental, than it is physical. You know, you're not going to get better as a better player physically in 1 week. But whatever 5%, 10% mentally you can prepare and improve this week is going to be really, it's going to show up on the game day. And I think that's one thing that I learned from the first two games is this game is, it's like a chess match. So honestly, we're just, me and Cam on offensive side of the ball, we're just stressing to the guys to do everything right this week. Get in the film room, watch film, just analyze your opponent, do everything like that.
That's your starting lineup, brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Give them a call today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Cam Rising, Britton Covey, everybody getting ready for what should be a fun game coming up tonight, Hans.
Yeah, so went back and watched the Oregon State game from last weekend to try to figure out what's going on with Oregon. And Anthony Brown did not look like the Anthony Brown that we saw 2 weeks ago, Scotty. He looked so much better against Oregon State. Now, he didn't have the pressure that Utah was able to put on him, but he was 23 of 28, high-level completions. And what blew me away is he was throwing some deep ball strikes. He hit Devon Williams? He hit him at whichever Williams for a 50-yard strike. He hit Hudson on a 25-yard strike. He got Travis Dye out of the backfield on a 20-yard strike. He had 15-yard throws to two other receivers in that game. So multiple big throws down the field, ended up with 275 yards through the air. And then the Oregon rushing attack was daunting, and it beat up Oregon State. And Oregon looked really good in the first half. Then things really cooled off in the second half before they put a couple points on the board in the fourth quarter. But I was impressed by what I saw from Anthony Brown. If you have that kind of outing from Anthony Brown, that it could really make this game more interesting. The difference is Oregon State couldn't produce the one-on-one pressure. Oregon State does not have Devin Lloyd, who is an absolute game changer. And I don't think Oregon State has the ability to truly press man on like Utah has on the outside defensively. Even though I know Oregon State beat Utah, and you know, if you want to look at the comparables, Oregon, the 38-29, it doesn't really paint the full picture. Oregon State scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. They were able to get themselves an onside kick and do some other things offensively to get down the field pretty quickly. I want to say that they had maybe it was a fourth down stop on Oregon that got them in good field position or something. But they put up 20 points in that fourth quarter. Outside of that, Oregon just dominated them. Absolutely beat them up. And I came out of that film review this morning thinking, okay, if we see that Oregon team, we see that Anthony Brown, it may be a little bit different. The other thing that Oregon State didn't do to Anthony Brown that Utah did an amazing job of, Scotty, is bottling him up, really bottling him up. But bottling him up and continuing to pressure him, because he did show against Oregon State, if you don't pressure, he can hit you on pretty decent strikes. I will say, though, Oregon's receivers had some real buffer and some real distance from those Oregon State corners. It much more than anything that we saw from Utah 2 weeks ago. But Anthony Brown looked really, really good. Second leading rusher in that game with 83 yards and a touchdown. He threw two touchdowns and just looked much more efficient in that game.
And that's the other thing, too, that I think is really important about what you deal with and what you've got going on in this game is that if you're a Utah fan, and look, I talked to a bunch of them. I was in the old TSA line talking to Utah fans. I was at my gate with another gate next to it that was going to Las Vegas. I mean, I probably talked to four or five Utah fans, and all of them are on pins and needles in this game thinking, what happened last week or 2 weeks ago is not going to happen again. And let's pray that this team has the same kind of ability to try to at least play a really good game. It was really interesting because I think Utah fans know that if they play their best football, they should win this game. If Utah plays their A game, and I know that's a really cliche thing to say, but if they play their good quality, it doesn't need to be like, it doesn't need to be spectacular. It just needs to be a really good game. Then they'll win this game. I mean, I firmly believe that. But if Oregon plays their A game and BYU comes out and, they're not up to par, then yeah, that's a problem. That's a really big problem for Utah. But I really think, Hanson, my analysis and my thoughts coupled with guys that I really trust and their football knowledge, you and Frank Dolce and so many others we've talked to, if Utah really handles themselves the way they should, then they should win this game.
I think that they should. And I do believe that they're going to come out, Scotty, and I believe that they're going to try to just make it a fifth quarter from game one. That I think that's what they're going to try to do. And I think that that's what they should try to do. Come out and say, all right, let's just test the waters. Let's see what changes they've made. Let's see what they did to try to stop these things that they couldn't stop. Because it's not like it was a Vic Fangio defensive type playbook. Like his stupid defense is so deep and so unrecognizable, and it allows for so many stupid mental errors. And that's not what Utah's offense was. It was just pretty straightforward. There were just some variations off the similar blocking schemes, but I think that they're going to try to make it a fifth quarter and come out and say, all right, let's test it all. fully expecting to go to a plan B type offense, thinking, well, there's no way Oregon's just going to let us roll into a fifth quarter. There's no way that they're just going to let this continue the way it continued for four quarters in that game. And once Oregon shows that they're able to at least slow down that run game, I think that we're going to see a variation of so many different routes off chip blocks and routes off of help blocks. And I think we're going to see a really nice screen game, because we've seen that Utah can throw a screen game, a big-time screen game. I think it was the second half against Colorado that we saw multiple screens. And they'll go to a plan B that should involve a more intricate throwing game.
So, based on the film you watched today, based on what you've seen leading up to this game, where's your on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being it's a W, put it on the board, it's a done deal. 1 being, oh my gosh, Utah's going to blow another one. Where are you at right now on this game for Utah?
I am squarely at a 2.5.
Wow, so that's a 50-50 game.
Yeah, the line, I know the line moved for Utah. It's Utah -3, and it started at 2.5. So it looks like people are favoring Utah in this game, at least on the betting end of things. But I wouldn't touch this game, because just watching the film this morning, feeling like Anthony Brown is a better quarterback than what I watched. Even though going into that Utah game, remember going into that first game, I picked Utah to win that game, and so did you.
Yeah, you did.
We felt when we looked at UCLA, they beat UCLA by 3. They beat Washington by whatever it was, 8 or something, 8 or 10. They beat Cal by a touchdown. You know, they had lost to Stanford, and Stanford was abysmal, absolutely terrible. And so going into that game, the sample size that I had was like, man, Utah should be able to handle them. They should physically be able to handle them. And I didn't know what they were going to do defensively with Utah's 3 tight ends. And the 38-7 mark, I don't think that really showed Oregon. I think Utah smothered them, beat them up, had crowd advantage, and did a great job with that game. Oregon looked much better. Yeah. It's almost like they were stirred up and ticked off because they had just had their college football playoff hopes ripped out from under them. I could see them preparing harder. I could see the scheme being more intricate, and I could see that this Oregon team really does have the capabilities to score and score quick. So I wouldn't touch this game. I'm at a 2.5, but I do believe Utah is going to win this game. So I'd move it just slightly more towards Utah, but not much, because game like this on a neutral field in a championship level environment, it's not just the players. Sometimes it's the coaches, and you know we haven't seen Coach Whittingham be able to get over the hump in this championship game yet. And sometimes that can be an issue. Sometimes that can be a blockage. I would expect that he's got this team ready, but I'm favoring Utah. I'm going to pick Utah, but by the slightest of margins. How about you?
All right, Lloyd's going to make fun of me. I'm going to say about a 3.8. I can't really say a 4. I think it's higher than a 3.
It's very precise.
I'm leaning more towards 4. This is honor my good friend Jay Brandwright, who can never answer a question like this in a clean, concise manner. So, yeah, give me a 3.8 out of 5 for Utah in this game.
That's fair enough.
I actually kind of like that line. I think I might take Utah.
So you think it's a 4.5, 7.?
Yeah, I do. I think 7 sounds about right to me on this one.
Man.
I think it's a touchdown game, like a 24-17 kind of game.
I've got to imagine, Scotty, that Oregon is just going to show better. If they don't, then I think that the whole thing was a facade. It'll just feel like their whole season was empty. this was a team that was ranked number three in the country. But even we saw through that. When the college football playoffs put them in number three, we all said, yeah, that's just their – that's just them setting them up for dramatic failure, essentially.
Yeah.
At least that's how I saw it. I believe that that's how you saw it. It didn't feel like the committee was saying, oh, no, they're the third best team in the country. It was just like, hey, let's put them there because we know they're going to fail.
And they'll blow it, yeah. And then we can say, well, no, we respected the Pac-12. We had you in the top four, and then you guys screwed it up. It's on you. Honestly,
right.
it's a great way for the selection committee to kind of cover their, you know, it's just they're like, no, look, if you guys won out, you would have had a spot in this thing. And deep down, they're like, there's no way they're going to win out. They'll screw this up for sure.
They knew it. And I've got to imagine that they suspected it was going to be against Utah. And it really should be against Utah again. I think, you know, there are a couple storylines to really pay attention to. You go back to that first Utah-Oregon game.
Yeah.
And Utah was able to put so much pressure on Anthony Brown while continuing to contain him in the pocket. Oregon State just couldn't put the pressure on him. And you go back to that game with Utah, and they had three sacks, and they had another couple of quarterback hits. They had two balls that were blocked at the line of scrimmage, and they ended up with six TFLs. They played in the offensive backfield quite a bit, and it was a really good defensive plan that they put together and kept Oregon to just 7 points that they scored in the third quarter, kept them scoreless in the first half, and shut them out in the fourth quarter. But it was an impressive game plan. And a lot of the pressures that we saw and the sacks that we saw from Tafuna, if you remember that Tafuna rush, Scotty, off that three technique, just coming right up the middle. And then the Mika Tafua speed rush that came off the edge. And I think Zach Vaughn had the other sack, if I remember. But remember the other sack, Scotty, was everybody converged at the same time.
Yep.
And I think that they gave credit to Vaughn or maybe to Funa. But anyways, it was impressive the amount of pressure they were able to generate off man-on rushes and not having to do it with, you know, Devin Lloyd blitzing or Cole Bishop blitzing. They were able to just really do it through – man-on-man, just a man beating a man. And that's actually the same thing that I saw. And I know we're going to get into this Mountain West Conference Championship game, but that's the exact same thing I just saw from San Diego State. They get a man-on pressures. And Utah State's offensive line, they're going to be tested tomorrow. They're going to have a gigantic test. So Oregon's offensive line is going to have to step up. If they want to get this win, Oregon's offensive line is going to have a much better game than they had in game one.
So there you go. As we continue to get you ready for kickoff with Utah and Oregon coming up tonight from Allegiant Stadium, coming up a little bit later on, good friend of ours, Sam Farnsworth, is going to join us coming from KSL Sports and KSLSports.com. Hey, by the way, I was in the office the other day, and I was talking to Nate, and Sam walks in, and Nate goes, hey, so I understand you and Hans are pretty good at the old barbecue front. I'm like, yeah, we do all right. He's like, yeah, so do I. I kind of did that not like a challenge, but just like, yeah, you guys think you're hot stuff, huh? Well, all right.
He's too skinny to know what he's doing on a barbecue.
That's my thought, too. Like, I don't know if you can trust a guy with no kind of girth around the middle. Like it's just like I don't know, man. You're a little pretty to be a barbecuer, you know?
I don't see him with sauce on his face.
he eats ribs with a fork and a knife.
Well, let's not get too insultive here. Well, that'll be fun to talk to him. And obviously we got Trevor Allen, who's down here as well. He's actually going to come over to the stadium or over to the spot where we are. And he's going to jump on headset with us. So,
hey, by the way, me and Lloyd are actually the only two people not in Las Vegas right now, shockingly. pretty much everybody on the Zone staff and KSLSports.com staff, and KSL TV is actually in Las Vegas right now.
Well, Lloyd, hopefully,
I'm sorry, my man.
Hopefully,
it happens.
Hopefully, Utah gets a win, and BYU gets a New Year's Six nomination, and then everybody can be out.
Let's all go to Pasadena.
I know, man. We all got to be down there for the Rose Bowl. That would be an incredible event to cover Utah's first Rose Bowl appearance. But it's such a big task in front of them. And Scotty, you know how it is. Like, getting over the hump, man. You know, there's mental blocks with these things, and it's not that Kyle Whittingham doesn't have a championship mentality. He's got the championship mentality. It's just you think back to some of those Pac-12 championship games. You remember the one he had? It was against Chris Peterson, right?
There was a weird
timeout back and forth, and Chris Peterson got into the mind games and had a weird kind of mental push back into things. And
that was I believe the CLC Mariner like tipped pass that gets end up taken back for a touchdown, which may have been the only touchdown scored in that game.
Beginning parts of that game too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember where, but.
Yeah,
but it was.
I think it
wasn't. It ended up being like a 10-3 game or something like that. The only touchdown was a defensive touchdown in that game. Anyway,
yes,
there's probably a U fan like, you don't remember anything that happened, but for some reason that strikes my memory as kind of a big key in that play. We're hanging out. I'm in Los Angeles. Mountain West Conference Championship game. We'll have the call of that game coming up tomorrow. Hans is in Las Vegas for the Pac-12 Championship game. And today's championship game coverage brought to you by The Warehouse, where you can get a memory foam pillow, regular price, $59. Championship game price today at just $17.99. The Warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West. Tom's hanging out with us right now. Tom from The Warehouse right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Hey, guys, thank you. We're here at The Warehouse, the Salt Lake store only, and I've got the best deal ever on adjustable beds. I've got three demo units. These are queen adjustable beds with two mattresses to choose from. I'm going to do these three at the unprecedented price of $799. We would normally sell that for $1,500. There's only three of them, so you'll want to hurry in to get those. I also have queen with full features, regular $5,400 at our competition. We're going to kick those out all weekend long for $1,299. And let's not forget, if you're looking for the very best split king setup, this is the package that they sell down the road, and you know what I'm talking about, for $11,000. We're going to do it with every feature, 24 massage settings, LED lights, USB ports for only $29.99. That's it, guys. Great special all weekend long.
Let's make it happen. Tom in The Warehouse is ready to hook you up right here on the Zone Sports Network, 1825 South, 300 West. Nobody does it better than these guys' hands.
Yeah, they're incredible. So get out there and support these guys and support Tom. He's an amazing fighter, a real trooper, and we love being a part of what he does. But Scotty, I just pulled up the box score, and you are absolutely right. That was the only score of the game, and there was only about 450 total yards of offense between the two teams.
Wow.
Utah only had 188 total yards in that game, and Washington with about 300 total yards in that game.
Jason Shelley too, right?
It was Armand Shine and Jason Shelley at the quarterback, and T.J. Green and Devin Brumfield were taking some carries in that game. But Jason Shelley was 17 to 27 for 137 yards. But here's the big one: zero touchdowns and three interceptions. That's going to make things a little bit difficult. But, yeah, good memory there, Scotty. 7 points coming in the third quarter. And that was it. So I want to see Kyle Whittingham get over the hump, because there is something about a championship hump. And I just wanted to throw out those stats, because I'm kind of excited to talk about this Mountain West Conference championship game too.
We'll get to that coming up. You're listening to Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Have you found, Joe, as you've traveled now, that you've had people come up to you and have these misconceptions about playing in Salt Lake City and maybe Utah in general, and you got to set them straight?
Oh, absolutely. Even on the court, guys are like, how do you live here? Or like little comments. And I think anyone that actually gets here and spends time here, you would learn how cool a place it is. I know for me and Renee and the kids, we absolutely love it. Now, I think any player that actually got here would realize how much they would like it when they actually got here and spent some time here.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I'm here in Los Angeles. Hans is in Las Vegas. We got complete coverage as Utah State playing in a conference championship game coming up tomorrow. Utah playing in their conference championship game coming up tonight. Hans, you can't ask for much more than this, man. This is great. Now all we need is in 2 years, a weekend with BYU playing in a Big 12 championship.
How incredible would that be? You know, you got three conference championship games going. That would be incredible. I do think that BYU could have possibly been in the Big 12 championship, depending on how the divisions were built out and made. I do think that they could have competed this year, even with Texas and Oklahoma currently in that conference. I really think they could have competed. That will be great if we ever do get a day like that. But it's nice to see Utah State back in a Mountain West Conference championship. This is their second time since being back in the Mountain West Conference. Is that right, Scotty?
Matt Wells' first year in 2013, they played Fresno State featuring Mr. Maybelline himself, Derek Carr.
Yep.
And now this year. So it's funny, Matt Wells' first year and now the first year of Blake Anderson. And, well, I tell you what, they've got a really big battle up against the San Diego State team. And I know you've looked at this team defensively.
Yeah.
I did not watch San Diego State much this year just because they weren't they didn't play Utah State, and I saw some cross games, but after going back, and I know you watched this too, and I kept a really close eye on it just because Utah State needed San Diego State to win to get to the conference championship game. But they've got they run that Rocky Long 3-3-5 defense that Rocky installed there, and then Rocky's now back in New Mexico, but they've got three defensive linemen that can wreak all kinds of havoc, led by Cameron Thomas, the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year.
Is he number 99, the defensive end?
Yeah.
So there were two guys that were tears. I spent a lot of time going back and watching the Oregon State game, and then got through with that and went back and watched Boise State, San Diego State from last weekend. Number 66 was an absolute tear for Boise State. I can't even believe, and I don't know if that Boise State guard just decided, I don't want to play today. I don't know if this offensive line for Boise State thought, I don't want to play, or they hate Hank Bachmeier. Maybe they hate Hank. But I can't believe Hank made it past the middle of the second quarter. He was getting cut in half. He was getting hit blindside. He was getting bookended where both the ends would hit him right in the face. He had no room to step up in a pocket. And I know he ended up throwing two interceptions. Boise State ended up with three interceptions in this game because Jack Sears was 2 of 2, one to his own player and one to San Diego State. But Bachmeier threw two interceptions, and I totally get it. The poor guy was just being harassed, beaten up. And here's the crazy thing. People hear me talking about how they harassed and beat up Bachmeier, and they're probably thinking in their mind, well, that's that intricate blitzing scheme of San Diego State that's really hard to stop up, stuff that you saw them run against Utah.
Nope.
They didn't do that against Boise State. It was so bizarre. I went into that game, into the package this morning as I'm kind of breaking down some of the film of it. I went into it thinking, oh, here we go. I'm going to have to stop and rewind to try to figure out what type of blitzing scheme they're running on every other play, because it took me forever to diagnose that Utah-San Diego State game. It took me 5 minutes to diagnose this Boise State San Diego game. Scotty, they rushed three. And when they didn't rush three, they only rushed four. And I don't know what their blitz percentage was, but it had to have been on the lowest end of their entire season. And it didn't matter. I'm sure that they went into this game like, oh, yeah, if we got a blitz, let's do it. Well, inside the first quarter, they're like, oh.
We don't really have
to. Yeah, so we brought three in every passing down, and we've got pressures and hits on the quarterback and a sack. So I guess we'll just bring three. And then they clouded out everything, and Bachmeyer was throwing picks left and right. Another thing.
And he was also getting tagged by three and four. You know, and, I mean, it was just like he was getting hit. And that's, to me, that's the biggest concern for Utah State, is that I don't know if San Diego State needs to blitz with the talent they have on the defensive line to get to Logan Bonner. And frankly, if I'm San Diego State, that's how I attack Utah State, is – that I look with those receivers that they have, and with Logan Bonner and as accurate as he is, I start the game not blitzing and see if I can get there with four. Because if you can and drop everybody back, then it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, Scotty, San Diego State and their defensive staff is more instinctual and more transparent in down and distant calls than any defense I've ever watched. Against Boise State, if it was a second and three, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, let's just take the mystery out of it. Here's seven of us. We're all here. If it was third and eight or more, then they would cloud out and they would just rush. And they might bring a fourth. They might put a fourth into a pass rush, but they are so blatantly obvious with their down and distances that I just wonder if there's some gamesmanship that can be played by that Utah State offensive staff. And I'm not saying that you put it all on Tyler and make him run the ball in passing downs. You know, that'll get you in trouble. And that'd get the offensive staff chewed out pretty quick. But I'm wondering if there are some creative things that they can do to take advantage of these blatantly obvious calls, because there were times where Boise State was third and one, and, you know, third and one, you know what it is. I know what it is. Second and one, we both know what it is, except for second and one is when you get your gadgetries or you get your deep balls with an opportunity to have a free down. But Boise State couldn't take advantage of any of it. Boise State just played offensively. They played right in to the San Diego State defensive call. And there are some variations, because they'll put four at the line and they'll bring another linebacker up to make it look like it's one of those classic San Diego State blitzes. And then they'll drop the linebacker into the quick flat, and then they'll man up with the safety that they walked up, or the middle linebacker that walked up. They'll man up with a route and just rush three. But Boise State couldn't take advantage of anything.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that Utah State can. It is an impressive defense, very impressive defense. And like I mentioned, the two picks that they got off Bachmeyer were, you know, big time moments for them. And then offensively, Scotty, I don't know, what are they trying to do with the two quarterback system? Because Brookshire, to me, was much more impressive because of what he's able to do in the run game than Lucas Johnson was by a mile.
Yeah.
What are they trying to do with the quarterbacks back there?
It's a great question. And honestly, they've both of those guys have gotten tons of time. If I'm Brady Hoke, I go to Brookshire and I ride that horse as long as I possibly can, because I think he's the better out of the two. Not to say that Lucas Johnson isn't good, but you know, one guy's Dylan maybe gets a little banged up. They bring the other guy in, and it just doesn't have a lot of rhyme or reason to it. And they're both kind of – they both try to do the same thing. It's not like one's a pocket guy and the other guy's a little bit more of a runner. No, they're both kind of the same quarterback. And talking to a lot of the coaches this week, they mentioned, like, it doesn't really change who they are. I just think Brookshire is better than Johnson at what they're trying to do. So if they go with Lucas Johnson, I'll be – you know, I think Utah State's got a better chance, because I think Brookshire's the better quarterback, certainly out of the two. But it, to me, offensively, it all comes back to the running game. I mean, you got the two Bells, Greg Bell, who's rushed for nearly 1,000 yards, and then you got Chance Bell. But they'll also bring in Keegan Williams. They got Jordan Bird. I mean, they've got a four-man front that they can go at running back, and all four of them have different styles, different complements. Obviously, Greg Bell, number 22, is going to be the guy that really gets the majority of the carries. But they've got all kinds of different dudes that they can throw out there. I mean, it's almost like a, you know, when one guy starts to wear out, boom, you got another guy who's fresh and ready to go.
So I was thinking about some of the help blocks, because one of the things that's going to be critical for Utah State in this game against San Diego State, critical, is that if there's any tell signs, and I'm sure that San Diego State self-scouts themselves to death, because that it feels like that defensive staff is so meticulous. So I'm sure that they've self-scouted themselves to death, finding their own keys and their own tell signs. But if Utah State can get a hold of any of those signs and be able to give yourself help blocking in a three-man rush, and also keep your eye on the green dog, because they'll green dog you to death if you think that you're going to get overly aggressive by throwing some knockout boxes. The center's unmanned, and he steps over to try to help the guard who's in a man on a three-man rush and gets his whole body involved. Then that's when, Scotty, that's when you see those San Diego State green dogs. As soon as they see that center engage, then the green light goes on for them, and they rush right up the middle, and they get those big, ugly, gruesome hits. And Logan Bonner can't take those hits. I feel like he's held together with a couple of stitches and thread right now. So you've got to keep your head on a swivel for the green dogs. But if they can get that three-man rush recognition, Scotty, and if that guard, or if they have a proper blocking scheme to step over and help against number 99, or step over and help against number 66, then remember how I was telling you how important it is that Logan Bonner get that ball out right now? Well, if they can identify the three-man rush and they can get some of those help sets, then let Logan Bonner look downfield a little bit, because Boise State gashed him down the field a couple times. There were probably three or four passes over 20 yards. Maybe four or five. And a lot of it came from Shakir. I know that, is it Cobbs? Is he the other receiver that's out there with Boise State?
Yeah.
And Caples. I know that they had big shots down the field. So if you can recognize it and block it up, then take your time and try to go deep on them. Because I think that San Diego State is a bit susceptible on the deep ball. At least they were against Boise State. But the problem was Bachmeier was taking shots because he was sitting in on two and a half count. And he was delivering, but right as he was delivering multiple of those deep balls, he was getting cut in half, just crushed. And I don't want Bonner to take those shots. So you need that help defense. And then, Scotty, a couple of those, the three-man rush and the cloud zones that they played led to a couple of interceptions by Bachmeier and Logan Bonner. You can't afford any of those in this championship game no more for Utah State. No turnovers against San Diego State. They're too conservative on the offensive end, and they'll make you pay with these just gluttonous, monotonous drives that they do offensively that suck the life out of a defense. You can't give them an extra opportunity to do that. But I think San Diego State is just susceptible enough in the deep ball. And if they get any tail sign to get some help block on the offensive front and don't give up big hits off the green dogs, I think that Utah State has a real opportunity to win this game tomorrow. I don't think that this one's written in stone. I think that they could beat this San Diego State team.
Just a note, I've had a couple of people ask me about this. He had about a 38-yard run. Andrew Peasley, backup quarterback, came into the game for Logan Bonner when they were blowing out New Mexico last week. Came down, was holding his shoulder left the game in a sling. I talked to Blake Anderson on the coach's show. We also mentioned it during, I think, our weekly conversation on Tuesday. And he said that it'll be a game-time decision. So if he cannot go and, you know, look, there it hasn't been a Utah State game this year where Logan Bonner hasn't missed a little bit of time due to an injury. If Andrew Peasley cannot go, Cooper Laga will be your primary backup in this game. So the young man from Orem might be needed in this game. You certainly hope he is not. No disrespect to the Laga family, but you hope that he's not needed. But if something were to happen, Cooper Laga might be your primary backup in this game. And those are some nasty wolves to get thrown to in a game like this if something were to happen to Logan Bonner.
Those are nasty wolves. And I just don't have a broad enough sample size to be confident in what I'm going to say. But the sense and feel that I get from Cooper Laga is if you need reps from him, there's a portion of physicality, athleticism, and toughness that maybe will present itself for him. I think you got to be conservative because San Diego State is going to do some things defensively. They'll be foaming at the mouth if they see this young man run onto the field. But I kind of get the sense, and Scotty, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I kind of get the sense that he would be like a Riley Nelson type, energetic, motivated, high energy, gamer style. Like, we haven't seen enough to make a call one way or the other. I do know the Laga family. I've always been impressed by the Laga family. You know, his grandpa was the track coach at BYU for 35 years. 25 years, something like that. And a good friend of mine, he absolutely great coach. And so I know he's grown up in the sports world. I know he was a state champion wrestler. I know that he's got all kinds of records in the record book for quarterback play at the high school level. I would like to see him just have a drive or two, just so I can see it. Because I'm not ready to just say, if Logan Bonner goes down, you're screwed. I'm not ready to say that because I think that there's enough backing for Laga to say, maybe you're not screwed. Let's see. Give the kid a chance.
What you may have missed coming up next right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, some interesting news coming out of Virginia regarding Bronco Mendenhall. We'll touch on that coming up next. And some breaking news just hitting Twitter that might affect your Pac-12 championship game coming up tonight. We'll talk about that as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
So here's my question to you. Are the Jazz like a 3-4-5 team that can't beat a really good basketball team? Or are the Jazz a team...
They've beaten really good basketball teams. They've lost the bad ones.
I'm not talking about...
You're talking about the playoffs.
I'm talking about in the playoffs. Mm. I'm not totally convinced of the Utah Jazz.
That is unbelievable!
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm grooving, man. I just want to pump this as loud as I can. I wish I could put this into the stadium speakers and just let this pump down onto the field.
See, I don't think Trevor wants to see your hips move like that.
Oh, well, he's going to see it because he can't help but move your hips on something like this.
Move your hips and walk and leave the room when you hear this.
Please don't run the your index finger down your chest, please. Please don't.
He's got the first three buttons unbuttoned on his shirt.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I don't appreciate that. But you're not far off. Like, honestly, if I could be like Sakata, I would be. He was incredible back in the day. You can't tell me that you can hear that song and not just feel better about life, because it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Was that in the old CD Walkman when you were getting ready for a game? That wasn't like a getting ready for a game song, was it?
That was getting ready for a wrestling match.
Well, you would get ready for, okay, and look, we can't dispute the results. I mean, you're like a 8-time state champion in high school. So, like, you know, that's great, but it just seems a little, doesn't seem like the kind of song that would get you pumped up and ready to go.
It was perfect. It's energizing. It's relaxing. It inspires deep thought and inspiration. It's just the all-around song. And every time Lloyd plays it, he knows he's going to get the best of me.
Or you're going to break a dude's arm. Like, I'm going to break it. I'm going to break it. You have a choice here.
That might happen too. How surprised were? Oh, hey, you teased something about the Pac-12 championship game. Probably outside of that.
And by the way, I'm not talking about the wreck, which is apparently on that in that Arizona gorge that apparently has got everybody backed up outside of the making the trip down I-15 to Las Vegas. Apparently, traffic's a nightmare. So if you're driving right now, good luck with that. But apparently, heavy delays at the Utah-Arizona border due to a crash in the Virgin River Gorge. So if you're listening to us on the stream, give us a shout out. Let us know how bad things are and when you're able to get through that nonsense, because that's no
bueno. Give yourself a little extra time. If you're thinking about pulling over for some lunch or something, you might not want to do that. Yeah. Because it is closing out that Virgin River Gorge. And Scotty, apparently PK, went through some real troubles getting through that gorge too. So our hearts go out to him.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. Boo freaking who.
Oh, it's so tough.
I feel for, you know, our thoughts are with you during your time of need right now.
Have a blessed day.
That 15 minutes you left the show early for, I'm sure, was time well spent in the middle of the gorge, backed up in traffic.
Recording out your last 2 hours of your show. No, he didn't.
You guys.
PK's our guy. Yeah. He's been great down here, by the way. I think he might be over at the – or I think he might be, yeah, over at the stadium already. I know he wanted to get
He sets up 7 hours early, too.
I don't know what it is about dudes, like, over the age of 55 that need to get to the stadium, like, 8 hours before the game. I've never understood that. Like, and, like, we've had a chance. We worked with guys that have been covering, and their experience is bar none. I just don't understand why, you know, look, there's the older generation of media. There's you and I and Lloyd. We're kind of in that middle generation, and there's a bunch of good youngsters that are coming up. But that older group, and I don't know if that was something that in the 70s you needed to be at a game like 7 hours before kickoff. I don't understand it. But, man, that crew just, they're like, oh, we got to get there. I'm like, why? Why? What are we going to see? Like, nobody's there. You have it all to yourself. What's going on?
Tell you what, I'm going to stop at the Japanese steakhouse. I'll be there 30 minutes before kickoff. Okay? We're good.
It was cracking me up because I went to go get the equipment from him, and he's like, hey, so are you going to drive over to the stadium with me? And I said, well, no.
Oh, yeah, and they don't like to drive either. They want you to drive them too, I'm sure. I'm sure he probably gets you up for that.
He's like, well, there's only one parking pass, so what if we carpool? And I'm like, well, actually, I've got to go over and get things set up over there, and I'm probably just going to do the show over that way and then come back this way. And he's like, "Oh, I just got to be at the stadium," so he was headed over to go get his stuff done.
And all they do is is just sit around and have a meal and then complain about how much the business stinks and stuff. Like, it's not like they're doing any work or anything.
argue about things.
has this gone too far? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think we should move on.
Yeah, you went too far. How surprised were you by Bronco Mendenhall? Yeah, well, I let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
You were newsbreaker for me last night.
Yeah, I called you after the show, and I'm like, hey, I was driving home, and all of a sudden Twitter started blowing up. Bronco Mendenhall announcing that he is stepping down and just walking away from the game as the head coach of the University of Virginia.
It really bums me out because, well, Virginia was in the state of Utah, and they were throwing out offers left and right. They were pillaging the state of Utah, and they were recruiting it really well. They picked up a couple of my old teammates' kids. I played with a guy named Brian McKenzie at BYU, and he married a BYU track star. Salote was just this incredible track star at BYU, and they've got these incredibly powerful, fast-running boys, and Virginia came in and got them, and maybe that changes for them. And I think that they got a kid named Imama or Mayama or something like that, and I think he decommitted. And I think you're going to see a big exit from Virginia because Bronco did a really good job of coming into the state of Utah. He was doing a good job in recruiting, period. He was doing a good job in that conference. And I thought he was happy. I thought he was fat and happy. I wasn't sure if he'd ever leave because the expectations were low and he was over-delivering and his assistant coaches were getting paid. And when he leaves, it's not like, hey, guys, you go ahead and just take it. I'm going to go do my own thing. It's like, hey, guys, I'm leaving. So guess you probably ought to call your contacts because you're all leaving too. Yeah, but we don't want to leave, coach. We're happy here. Yeah, well, you really don't have a choice because I'm going to longboard. And so you'll need to figure out whatever you're going to do. I can't imagine getting that call. It would be pretty rough.
You know, Bronco, and it's surprising but not surprising because Bronco just is his own man. And you're right. Like those guys had followed him to Virginia, and they look, they benefited. They had a lot of years there where they were making really good money, and that worked out well. But I could see, you always tell the story about that guy you played with the Colts that was going to, like, I'm going to play in the league long enough to get enough money for my chicken farm, and then I'm done, and I'm out. And I could totally
Joe Dean
see
Davenport. Yeah.
Yes, it's one of my favorite stories you've ever told. I could see Bronco being like, look, I need, and he and Holly sitting down, like, how much money do we need to get that house on the water there in Maui? We own it free and clear, and then once we get to that point, we're done. We're walking away. And I could see them with their financial advisor, and the guy's like, hey, you got enough money? You can retire comfortably. You can get your house in Maui right there on the ocean where you get the best surfing. And Bronco be like, all right, we got it. We're done. I'm out.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think you're right on. I know a lot of people were speculating, like, oh, a stake president or oh, mission president or
oh, I could see that too.
Calling to serve. I actually can't see that.
Really?
Like, I see what you just described. Like him and his beautiful wife. And by the way, he's got a great wife and a great family.
Yeah,
and
Holly's
I'm
awesome.
I'm sure that he really does want to spend more time with them, but. And I could see them being philanthropists. I could see them being involved with, you know, different areas and orphanages and causes and all those kinds of things. But I think it's more about let's go have our time now. Like we've given all of our time to kids and raising kids and all of my time to raising college kids. And I could totally understand it, Scotty. I mean, you know, sports radio – it is the job lottery. It's not overly demanding. Like if you fall behind in your research and you fall behind in watching games and you really can get out of the loop really quick. And if you're out of the loop, then you sound misinformed or uninformed. And that's not a good thing. So it takes some time, but the time is spent watching sports. There's a little bit of pressure to perform because it's a volatile job. You know, it's competitive. People want these spots. But if you think about it, Scotty, if every day we felt like if we didn't show up to the office at 6 or 5:30 and leave at 9:30 and our entire life was designated to being on the road and gone or recruiting or these. Eventually, you're going to burn out. I'm surprised some of these coaches go as long as they go. I'm surprised Kyle Whittingham's nervous system has held up as long as it's held up, because I think that's what's caught up with Bronco. I think he just got to a point where he was done with it. And good for him. And maybe he'll come back to it in a year. Maybe he'll come back to it in 2 years. But
I could see him being a volunteer assistant defensive coordinator at Lone Peak High School, you know, or something like that. Like, just being like, yeah, I miss coaching kids. I don't want to make any big decisions. I just want to have a whistle and be on a practice field somewhere, and that's it. Like, that would not surprise me at all for Bronco, just to get a little bit of a fix and just be done, you know?
Yep.
So, all right, 1208, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. The Warehouse is where you need to be today. Stop by, all kinds of great savings with our man, Tom, standing by. Tom, how are things going out there?
Well, I'm going to do a championship package here at the Warehouse today for all of our listeners. Listen, I'm going to do Ashley Furniture with a guarantee. If you're out there looking for Ashley Furniture, come and see us. Bring the item number, the exact item. We will guarantee to beat whatever the best price you have found. And we'll save you on delivery time as well. You know the furniture industry is upside down because of logistics. Well, come and see us. We'll give you the price, and we'll give you a delivery date that's real. I also want to do a special. We've done this a lot at $19.99. I'm going to break the bank. We're going to continue our Black Friday special on pillows. This is a pillow that sells for $59 normally. We're going to do them for $17.99 while they last. And I also just got a new truckload of sectionals and sofas, the lowest price ever. And under the circumstance, that's saying a lot, because nobody has inventory because of all the problems in our industry. Come and see us. Come check out the new inventory. Come check out the best prices. And I'm going to give you one more deal. I've got bunk beds that they sell next door or down the street for $4.99. How about the boom, boom price of $179? And we'll honor that for 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Monday. Come and see us here at the Warehouse, Salt Lake store only.
That's the man, Tom. Give him a holler right now, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, down at the Warehouse. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, we continue on with our coverage live in Las Vegas. Hans Olsen and the host of crew down there getting you ready for the game tonight. I'm here in Los Angeles as Utah State gets set to square off against San Diego State. It's a championship weekend, and it's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.